charging down the ice. He's got a stick. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty. And Connor McDavid on fire alley.
And Mike Smith are going to go. And center ice. Talbot and Smith. Moving on both sides of this battle of Alberta. This is unbelievable.
This 1 year, 1.5 year here. Get me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the drive, scores 100 points for Leon.
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So, you know, we need to be better.
Well, hello, Edmonton. How are you feeling today? Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Coming up on the pod, we'll get to who's sizzling, who's fizzling. Game cliches. We'll also get to the daily bet, and we'll be joined by Low Tide in the second segment as he'll join us to talk all things Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, let's get right to it. Why not? I mean, I did not see this three-game set going the way it did. I did not see last night going the way it did. Team definitely fighting it. That was ugly last night. The worst game of the three. None of them were good. But it's a similar theme. Oilers, good start once again at 5 shots in the first 2 minutes. They were rolling. The dry line had a good, very good first shift, but they just couldn't find that goal. And then Jimmy VC scored 9 minutes in, and it was all over from there. Toronto would go on to add 4 more in the second. Nugent Hopkins would break the shutout streak at 13:46 of the second period as the Oilers' drought would end at 154.09. That's kind of impressive when you see have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Zach Hyman would score in the third to rub salt in the wound, and the Leafs would come out with a 6-1 win, an absolute spanking of the Edmonton Oilers. There's no other way to put it. No other way to put it. The Oilers lose to 3 different goalies in this set, and you could give credit to Toronto. They came in, got that first goal, and they never looked back in all 3 games. The Leafs would go 2-for-5 on the power play last night. Overall, they were 4-for-10 in the 3 games. Like I said, 3 different goalies picked up wins. Matthews only played in 1 of the games and really didn't factor in it. I mean, Zach Hyman, whew, what a player. He scored in every game this series. So he was a bit of an Oiler killer, and he was getting under the skin of Mike Smith for sure. Oilers, once again, would not get a power play in this game. That makes 2 out of the 3 games. And that just means you didn't have the puck, and they didn't compete hard enough. That's all it says. This wasn't on the officials. That's a weak, weak excuse. They didn't have the puck enough, and they didn't want to compete. The big three combined for 2 points in these 3 games. McDavid, no points in 3 straight, which is crazy to think, but the big three wasn't good enough. Mike Smith was left in after 5. We all thought we'd see Koskinen in the third. He was okay, but you need a save. I say that about Koskinen all the time, so I can't give him a pass on that. So Mike Smith definitely needs to be better. Oilers defense was absolutely terrible. I said it yesterday. I didn't like the pairings. You went back to pairings that weren't good when you started the season. Jones was awful. Bear was a train wreck. The vets, they don't get a pass either. Darnell Nurse was a -2 on this night. I'll say this, Jones is not an everyday player for me. Bear seems a step behind. He was atrocious last night, and that's putting it nicely. They struggled. They struggled mightily. Kaitan Haas didn't play much as Connor McDavid was double shifting and early in this game. In the first period, he was getting double shifted and pretty much played on every line but the dry line. The dry line did get the 1 goal. They had a few shifts here and there. We'll see what happens going forward. I thought Neil was going to be good on that line, but man, oh man, he just wasn't on last night. Took a stupid penalty that led to a power play goal, and Neil, and for some reason JP rode the bench in the second. I get Neil, he took that stupid penalty and he wasn't going, but what did JP do to deserve to ride the pine there in the second period? He did play a little bit more in the third period, so it is what it is. And just a few other notes, how about Dermott not wanting to fight Josh Archibald? I thought that was kind of funny. We were at the game and Josh Archibald was trying to get at him, but he wouldn't go, and I think the first time it led to a goal. So Travis Dermott there playing some mind games. I'll say this, Kyle Turris, like, guy brings nothing. Watching him from the arena, he's just out there for a good old skate. I don't know what you do going forward with this guy. Again, not the reason they lost, but Kyle Turris not doing much. So the big three for the Oilers don't do much. Secondary scoring, obviously they only scored one goal, so what the hell am I talking about? No one did much in this game. The defense was a train wreck. The goaltending wasn't good enough. You didn't generate any power plays outside of that one game. PK fell off again, giving up a power play goal in each game. You lose to three different goalies, two backups. It just wasn't a good three-game set for the Edmonton Oilers. No other way to put it. Let's not sugarcoat it. Now, let's get to Dave Tippett as just his thoughts. And these are quick clips, but he was just his thoughts on his team and this three-game set.
No, I said at the first game this week against these guys that we got beat, and we got beat the second game, and then we got beat the third game.
Yeah, okay. he was also asked about his team not being able to find any compete or pride or something in these games. Like, outside of Mike Smith and Josh Archibald, there wasn't much fire in this team, and you want to see some of that a little bit more from this team, especially when you're not going. Like, create a ruckus, do something. But here's Dave Tippett.
Yeah, it's very concerning that we don't want to grab the competitive level in a series like this.
That's the head coach saying it, so don't come at us. Let's not panic, guys. Let's pump the brakes. Let's listen, the Oilers are coming off an excellent February, 11 of 13 wins. You don't fluke into that. That means there's a team there. There's something there, 100%. I know these three games didn't go their way. It was terrible. They scored one goal. They were outscored 13-1. It wasn't good. And it's okay to be upset. And it's okay to say it and talk about it. But at the same time, and I kind of like what we saw in the post-game show where people were upset. They need to be better, but let's not forget all the good this team has done so far. It's not. Three straight losses doesn't push away those 11 wins. Hell no. So let's pump the brakes. Let's stop with the full-out panic. Let's stop with the trade proposals, people. The Oilers are not trading for anyone. They have no money. They have no assets. Stop throwing in Chris Russell and Mikko Koskinen and a third and Caleb Jones. That's not going to happen. The team is what it is right now. Will we see Stalock take over here? I'm saying I think he will. I said it on the Two Guys podcast. I think he'll be the starting goalie by April. He's still got time to go on in the quarantine, but the Oilers goaltending is a roller coaster. Mike Smith has been good for the most part of the season. Koskinen's up and down, but you never know what you're going to get, ever. You never know. Are they going to be great? Are they going to be good? Are they going to be mediocre? Are they going to be just okay? Are they going to be terrible? Are they going to be atrocious? So guys, I get it. It's frustrating. It sucks to lose that many games. It sucks. And the way they lost them, and the spanking, and the one goal. Hell yeah. But let's not panic. The Oilers have still done a lot of good things this season. So it's a lot different than from every other season. So I just hope everybody can just pump the brakes a bit and we'll see what happens on Saturday. They lose Saturday. Sure. You can still be pissed off. I have no issues with that. As far as the big topic today with the media and the questions and Draisaitl, a little snarky. And I don't mind that. Hey, he was pissed off and Titch tweeted out today that it got the best of him too. And hey, listen, man, people, this happens in media. But I'll say this, for all the media experts out there criticizing and the media always ask stupid questions, I'd love to put all those people in a scrum and say, okay, go ahead, ask the first question. Like, I love when people just criticize and they've never been in that industry, or they've never been in a scrum or on a Zoom call with media. Does the media ask great questions all the time? Of course not. But listen, I'd rather have media that asks tough questions than the soft ones, and you just get cliche answers. Is there great questions? 100%. Is there bad questions? 100%. But to sit there and criticize and say, oh, the media in Edmonton is terrible, they only ask stupid questions, I'd like to put you in that spot and see what kind of question you come up with. That's all I'll say about that. Draisaitl has a right to be mad? 100%. His team just got shit kicked for 3 games. I have no issues with him snarking back. No issues at all. No issues at all. Should Titch should have left out that speaking of not good enough? Of course. But hey, you live and learn, you move on, you make mistakes, whatever. No one's sitting here saying that Draisaitl shouldn't be upset or no, I'm not going to lie. I kind of giggled when I heard it. So again, for all the media experts out there, they just pump the brakes. I'm not saying everybody's perfect and stuff like that, but it just drives me crazy. Like, and the media, I'll also add this. Players don't leave town because of the media. Players don't leave town because they can't stand the press conferences. Players leave town because your team sucks. That's why they leave town. Anyways, coming up next, we'll get to Low Tide as from the Lowdown Show on TSN 1260. And we'll get to who's sizzling, who's fizzling, and all that fun stuff in the third segment. You're listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. The NHL is well underway, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore and get in on the action. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, and there's no one better to break down what happened to the Edmonton Oilers in their past 3 games than my good friend and colleague, Mr. Alan Mitchell, aka Low Tide, from the Lowdown Show here on TSN 1260. LT, let's get right to it, my friend. I think everybody's trying to figure this one out, but what the hell happened to the Edmonton Oilers in this 3-game set?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, I think Toronto played about as well as they can play. And this year, along with the offense that they've always had, and they've usually had pretty good goaltending, to very good goaltending, they can play defense this year. And Brody has made a big difference. Hole has made a big difference. They're more calm. Their coverage is excellent. They've signed a couple of guys like Mikhaev who are surprised, and you know, old man power. Joe Thornton has helped as well. So they've got a good crew there. I'm not saying they're going to win the division or the Stanley Cup or anything like that, but they played very well. They had a really good game plan. They played 3 consistent games defensively, and they've never had a problem scoring goals. So from the Oilers point of view, they didn't adjust like at all, and that's a little bit coaching, but probably also players being stubborn. So, you know, humility is a thing I think we could all have more of, and I think the Toronto Leafs feeling pretty high, and I think the Oilers are maybe navel-gazing and, you know, rethinking a few things, and that's not always a bad thing.
The big three, I'll throw Nuge in that conversation. 2 points combined in these 3 games. Was it a case that these guys were just off, or did Toronto, once they were up 1-0, it looked like they knew what to do when the Oilers needed to chase the game, and they just locked it down? Like, is it a bit of a both here, that Toronto did an excellent job on Draisaitl and McDavid, and on the flip side, do those guys have to be better?
Yeah, I think both, but I think that the one of the things the Oilers, like, I saw McDavid trying to deke through 5 guys again last night, and I saw that every game, and I'm a big Connor McDavid fan. Being critical of him is crazy, but you know, it's the job of the GM and the coach to get him guys who can help him in areas where you know he's being double teamed and checked so closely. And one of them is transportation. And you know, Puljujärvi can transport the puck, but they didn't use him. So you know, they've got to work on some plays that get Puljujärvi carrying the puck through the neutral zone. If McDavid's going to be double team, then use him as a decoy, and it'll make it easier for somebody like Puljujärvi. That's something that you know, the players could figure out if time went on long enough. But I think that I think the Oilers probably played into the hands of the Leafs and never tweaked during the series, which is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, and that was used a lot in the press game. The post game presser last night, where Dave Tippett said he was concerned about the compete of his team in these 3 games. And we had Rashog on the post game show, and he said, "What about the pride? It seemed to never kick in." Do you agree with those two statements?
Uh, I think it's really easy to go there when the team is down. I don't feel that they have any more or less than they did a year ago or mm-hmm. or 2 years ago. I think Mike Smith has added something, and I mean it's obviously tangible because people talk about it. We can only measure it based on what happens on the ice, but I saw them get frustrated. They played well early in each game, didn't score, and then Toronto scored first in each game and then scored twice in each game. And that seemed to, by the time Toronto scored twice in each game, they seemed to flag a little bit. And so that, you know, I always hesitate to call it character flaws or whatever, but they did seem to be an easier team to beat once they were down 2-0. And that in the recent past, that hasn't been the case.
Joined by Low Tide here from the Lowdown Show on TSN 1260. Al, I said it yesterday on my podcast. I wasn't happy with the pairings. They went back to kind of how they started the season where this team was kind of struggling. I just didn't like Nurse and Barry being split up. I think they've been excellent. They've really kind of turned into a nice top pairing. Let's talk about two young guys here. I think Ethan Bear has struggled since his return to the lineup. And for me, Caleb Jones is still not an everyday NHLer. I think Evan Bouchard surpassed him. I think Willie Lagesson as well. How do you see the young defenseman of the Oilers shaping up here as we move forward in the season?
Well, right now, I think as soon as Lagesson is ready to come back in, he will. And I think they may give Ethan Bear a night off here on Saturday as well. Because you know, I'm an Ethan Bear fan, but he did not have a very good game last night. As a matter of fact, on the second goal early in the second period, you know, he was on the bench and he shouldn't have been. And you know, he got off late. It was a goal against. He got benched for quite a bit of the second period. You can't have that. He has to be, you know, and if he still has issues, then he shouldn't be playing anyway. But they need more from Ethan Bear. And I know he's a young player, but, you know, he was a big part of last year's team. They need him to be, you know, a big part of this year's team, too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And that leads into my next question. Listen, the Oilers had an awesome February. They're the best team in terms of record, to play all that in February. This team still, there's a lot of good still about this team. But these three games were a little disappointing, Al, for sure. But how do you see Dave Tippett handling this team right now heading into Saturday's game?
Well, I think he'll tweak. I think that they're at a point in the season now where they built up, they started off slow, they got back into the mix, and then they started to create a little bit of clearance. And it's almost like once they got some clearance on Calgary and Vancouver, they and even Winnipeg for a time, they maybe got too comfortable or were not ready to flourish at that level. And so they sort of slid back a little bit. And if I'm Tippett, I want to know why. I want to know why they're uncomfortable with success and whether or not they are, you know, if there's a breakdown anywhere, they have to fix it. The penalty kill didn't do well last night, but the penalty kill has been good. The power play isn't good. That's one of the areas that I think they really should work at. And I think they'll come back with Koskinen on the weekend. I think you'll see Bouchard, Lagesson if he's ready. Chiasson will be back in the lineup. And this year is so weird because momentum is just never spends more than 5 minutes on any particular team. So as bad as they played this week, they've got Calgary and then three against Ottawa. So this time next week, we could be talking a totally different tune when it comes to the Oilers.
Just a few more for you here, Low Tide. We saw the Dryline reunited last night. They got the only goal in this three-game set. But you did see, and listen, I'm guilty of it. I really wanted to see this line, but you saw McDavid pretty much play with every winger on the team outside of the wingers on the Dryline. If you're Dave Tippett, are you giving this line another look, even though you couldn't really find any chemistry for Connor McDavid with any of the wingers he was playing with? What would you do with the forward lines come Saturday?
Well, one of the things that I would do is I would keep Nuge where he is. I'd keep him with Draisaitl and Yamamoto. The reason I say that, I was always in favor of moving Nuge up to the McDavid line. But now that you've done that, then I think you have to give it 10 games. And you know, if it takes all 10 games for McDavid to find his wingers or whatever, but you're winning hockey games, then that's okay too. I think I think that Puljujärvi and McDavid are a good combination. I'd like to see Ennis and Nygaard take a shot there, but I would keep Nuge where he is. And the reason is I think he's a more capable scorer when he's on Draisaitl's line. And that's a chemistry thing. I think it's probably pretty hard to play with McDavid for some players, and then a guy like Patrick Maroon figured it out in 5 minutes. So Puljujärvi's coming along. I think a guy like Ennis could help. But I would keep Nuge where he is on the Draisaitl line.
I wouldn't mind seeing Ennis up there. I know you don't want to split up that third line because they've been pretty good. And Nygaard's an interesting one, a guy that gets around the ice well, but for some reason doesn't get into a lot of games. So we'll see what happens for Saturday. One last one here. I want to ask you on this. We got a ton of texts yesterday on the goaltending. Listen, I Mike Smith, I don't think you can blame him on a lot of the goals, but you do need a save, and I always say that about Koskinen, so the same has to go for Mike Smith. When Alex Stalock is good to go and gets out of quarantine, do you see him pushing here?
Oh, he could. I think he could. I don't see him necessarily as a starter.
Okay.
But I see him as a guy who, they're going to have an interesting summer because I think they will try to offload Koskinen and upgrade at number one goaltender. So Stalock, he might be applying for next year's backup job, but he's a capable goaltender. His numbers are really, in the last couple of years, his numbers are a little bit better than Mike Smith's. So I would not take him lightly. He's a guy who could take playing time away from both of Edmonton's current goaltenders.
LT, thank you so much for joining me today. Always great to talk Oilers with you. Let's see if they can turn it around on Saturday as they take on the Calgary Flames. Thanks again, LT.
You're the man. Hernan, I always have to say yes to you when you ask, because you once queried me about geography on the radio, and I'm always afraid you're going to tell people how bad I am.
Oh, no. It was a tough question. I can't remember which country I asked about.
Where is Spain? That was the question. It threw me for a loop.
I think I asked you where Messi was from, and I think you said Portugal, and Paul Almeida's head about exploding when he was listening to it.
I'd like to blame it on the, a bad day or a headache or the rain, but, anyway, Messi's great. Thanks, Ben. Have a good one.
Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, big shout out to LT for joining me. Absolute beauty. Always brings the good stuff as the Edmonton Oilers drop three straight to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their first three-game losing streak of the season. So, it's a little crazy right now. A little crazy here in Edmonton. Let's get to your news of the day. Sam Bennett will be a healthy scratch tonight against the Ottawa Senators. That's the second time this season he will be a healthy scratch. Jake Allen to start tonight for the Montreal Canadiens, and Josh Anderson out again as he's missed a few games now, so adjust your fantasy lineups. Brendan Gulley has been placed on waivers by the Anaheim Ducks, and Dominic Simon, Valtteri Filppula, and Mason Geertsen have all cleared after being placed on the good old waiver wire on Wednesday. Games tonight's a busy one. Flyers take on the Pens. Carolina's home to the Red Wings. Jets and Canadiens do battle for Montreal. The Rangers are on the road in New Jersey. The Islanders are home to the Buffalo Sabres. Lightning and Hawks meet in Chicago. Florida is on the road in Nashville. Dallas hosts the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Ottawa Senators are on the road as they face the Calgary Flames. And Vancouver is home to those red-hot Toronto Maple Leafs. Interesting. Interesting little game there. All right, guys, let's get to who's sizzling. No one! How the hell can you pick anyone? One goal in three games? No one deserves it. I don't care. Come at me all you want, but that's... there's no way I could pick anyone from last night or even going back through the three-game set. So who's sizzling? No one. How about who's fizzling? I'm going to go the entire team. One goal in three games. I'll say it again. A lack of compete, a lack of pride, a lack of a little bit of everything in this one. I did not see the Oilers being swept by the Toronto Maple Leafs. I did not. But here we are. So who's sizzling? No one. Who's fizzling? The entire team. Let's get to your game cliche. Here's what my guy sent me.
We didn't get much time and space.
Hear that again, Juanito?
We didn't get much time and space.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah, it's not pretty. And yeah, my bets yesterday, the Edmonton Oilers and take Dreyer McDavid multiple points.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize to you, but oh man, that was bad. That was bad. I just didn't see that coming. I thought there's no way Dreisaitl McDavid would be shut out in two straight games, but boy, were we wrong, and I apologize. And yeah, I lost some money on that. I'm not going to lie to you. So for my bet, it's not a real risky one. Once again, it's kind of boring. Florida Panthers have been really good this season. They're currently third in the Central with 30 points. They've lost two straight. I'm going to take them on the road in Nashville. Nashville, obviously, the underdog in this one. But I'm going to take Florida at one minus 129. Again, I'm no expert. Take it with a grain of salt. That's the bet I like. Probably sprinkle some on these Canadian matchups. Winnipeg at Montreal. It's Montreal the favorite in that one. I might sprinkle some on that to get some action. But for me, I mean, yeah, I think I'm going to take Florida at minus 129. Toronto, Vancouver is interesting too. Vancouver's at plus 146. Can they pull it off? I mean, is Toronto going to have a letdown? So look at that one as well. I might take Vancouver at plus 146. But my locked bet for sure for betonline.ag is the Florida Panthers tonight. All right, guys, a day off today for the Edmonton Oilers. We'll be back at it tomorrow, and we'll have a presser and all that. Hopefully there's some great questions as well. Yeah, well, all the media experts should send some in to us, and that way we can ask. We'll see what Dave Tippett and his staff have in store for the lineup changes. This is the end of the dry line because you saw McDavid kind of all over the place yesterday playing on different lines and all that. So we'll wait and see. I hope he sticks with it for at least another game to see what they have. And like I said, they were okay last night. They scored a goal. And so we'll see there. Also with the defense, I mean, is Evan Bouchard back in? I think he has to be. I think he's better than Caleb Jones right now. I don't think Caleb Jones is an everyday NHLer. Bears not playing well right now. So Bouchard, Lagesson, who knows the status of Lagesson, but I'd definitely put Bouchard back in. Just the way he moves the puck, I think he deserves to be in there ahead of Caleb Jones right now. So we'll track that as well. We'll see what the pairings are tomorrow at practice. I'd also like to see Barry back. I think that has to be a move he has to make. They've been so good. They're a big part of that, those 11 wins in 13 games. So just go back to what works. And Ethan Bear's fighting it right now, and you should not be on your top pairing. Also, who will it be? Smith or Koskinen? What do you think? Question of the day. Would you roll with Mike Smith or Mikko Koskinen? Both goalies have been just okay in these three-game sets. So interesting decision. I mean, if you're a betting man, you'd probably say Mikko, but you never know. Smith is Tip's guy. So yeah, interesting one. Who would you go with, Mike Smith or Mikko Koskinen? It's the Oilers' first three-game losing streak of the season, which is, I mean, it was going to happen. Hopefully they snap it on Saturday. They can't keep this losing streak going because then they're going to kind of put to waste everything, all the good work they did in February. They need to compete harder, have more pride, show some damn emotion, come out there and take it to the Calgary Flames. As the Calgary Flames are not happy with where their game's at either, so they're going to be a feisty bunch. We'll see how they do tonight in Ottawa. All right, guys, thank you for listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast. Like always, keep the downloads coming. Subscribe on your favorite app for all the latest episodes. It's a little bit gloomy to start March here in Edmonton Oilerland as they've dropped three straight to the Toronto Maple Leafs and they get set for the Calgary Flames on Saturday night. Hit me up on Twitter at Hernandoman and at Locked On Oilers. For my producer, Juanito, another great job. This is the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am Hernandoman. Talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. Chat tomorrow.